This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Started on the Baltimore preparations today and tonight, tomorrow, so we'll kind of get our 3 days in on that. And that's where we're at this morning. Be good to get in the stadium tonight, you know, kind of get that environment and the scoreboard and the situations and all that.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Matthew's a smart kid. We've been working him in some different spots since he's gotten here in all three phases of the game, and maybe we'll zero in more on one than another, or maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Once again, live to Hard Drive from Gillette Stadium, another training camp podcast. The boys of PFW are back in town. The boss has left, so we have our studio back. Not the boss, Fred Kirsch, the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Our boss is actually right over here.
No, the big boss, Bruce Springsteen, in town over the weekend for his concert, but he's gone. Patriots are back in business. We just came from a morning, I'm going to term it an opportunity practice of sorts, in full pads, but a long list of veterans not on the field. After a pretty intriguing weekend of action as well, we might want to recap some of that. Paul Perillo alongside Eric Scalavino. I don't know, Paul, I believe you termed one play from weekend that you didn't have a chance to talk about on a podcast, the play of camp.
I did.
When young Gerard Mayo stuffed Lawrence Maroney at the goal line.
I continue to be more and more impressed with him. As every practice goes by, he's now running, you know, ostensibly with the ones. He's been next to Brewski. He was there all day on Saturday. You said he stayed there on Sunday.
Flying around, picking fights.
I think he's getting better and better. The play I was talking about, Andy, live goal line drill. He had a quick off-tackle run for Maroney to his side. And it wasn't just that he ran through, you know, an open gap and shot a gap and made a tackle. He got in, you know, did his responsibilities, took on the guard, and just buried Maroney. I mean, quick, you know, real compact but explosive as well. You could hear it throughout the field house. Everybody just stopped and kind of looked, and the defense got very excited about it. And, you know, it was good, hard goal line play. Stopped him at the one-yard line. But I continue to be impressed by him every day.
I do, too. And I'm already going with, if he doesn't hit one of those rookie plateaus, you know, we talked about in the offseason once he was drafted the lineage at inside linebacker in recent years for rookies, the Patrick Willis, the D'Amico Ryans, guys who have come in, rookie of the year, Pro Bowl, that type. I feel like what I'm seeing over the last week plus from Mayo is falling right in line with that. I mean, moving into the first group, flying around, showing run ability, pass defense ability, pass rush ability, and I think the thing I'm most intrigued by, Eric, is the mean streak. He plays.
He does.
With, you know, the old saying, they get there in a hurry and in a bad mood. To me, that's what he is.
Yeah, and he seems to be the total opposite off the field. Very well-spoken, very friendly guy to talk to. But on the field, he's got that streak that you talked about. And I think as far as his learning curve, I think it's gotten very steep over the last few days.
Well, that's the one bit of caution I want to hold. If he's just hitting a phase where, for some reason, over 4 or 5 days, you know, it snapped in him and he hit it, and at some point maybe that slows down, which it's going to. Because let's be honest, we're still in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They're going to start throwing more and more at him as they get closer to games, game planning. But for right now, I think, you know, the only optimism for Patriots fans, if you're out there, because Gerard Mayo is looking like what you'd expect from a guy drafted number 10 overall and who's expected to be the future of the position.
He was talking last week about being on the field and having to think as opposed to react. And he said, you know, I'm still a rookie. I have a lot of thinking to do, but I've been seeing him react a lot more.
I was going to say, if that's true, because he was almost hard on himself when he was talking about that.
So.
If that's true, well, then we might have the next Mike Singletary or something, because I've been impressed with him, quote, being
thinking.
Slow to react.
Right.
So
just another one, too, another play on that Saturday practice and in pass coverage. And we've seen him be very athletic and cover a lot of space, cover a lot of ground in some of those drills. Another goal line play he got over right as Ben Watson was, you know, now that I'm kind of forgetting, it might have been Ben Watson. It might have been Sammy Morris. I can't remember which one.
Is it a three or an eight?
But it was short, you know, and in the flat, and it was, you know, in a very compact space down in the red area. And he got there right as the ball did and made a nice, you know, strip down and knocked the ball. It should have been a completion from the offensive standpoint. It was probably a drop, but it was a great play by Mayo to get his hand in there. And I think it was Benjamin Watson, but I'm not positive. But it was still a great play by Mayo.
Leftover tidbits from the weekend. Some players came back from PUP, some pretty notable players. Wes Welker, Ellis Hobbs, and Bo Rude. Paul, you were at Saturday's practice when they returned to the field. Welker, I guess, was a little rusty, had a few drops. But just a good thing to see those two starters and key contributors back on the field. That's still a pretty early point in camp.
Yeah, and it was funny because Welker actually looked just like he left off last year in terms of flying around, coming across the middle, you know, coming in and out of the slot, inside, outside. He was open and looked just like himself, but he dropped a couple of passes, which we never saw last summer. I mean, I think he went the whole camp without the ball hitting the ground once in anything that was intended for him. So he was really, he was frustrated. He expressed that a little bit. We talked to him about it afterward, and he spent about 30 minutes after practice on the jugs machine. Just he was talking about the quick line throws. In other words, when Brady puts a little extra on it from in tight, those are the ones that were giving him trouble. He said that's just timing. Wouldn't worry about any of that. Hobbs, I think, is not anywhere near close to being ready to go, and he admitted as much. He appeared to be winded at times during the drills, took a knee with his helmet off several times during the practice, and he talked about this is more or less participation right now for him, not practicing. He's not ready to go, but he was happy to be out there.
And it makes sense because reportedly had both shoulder and groin procedures.
He said he didn't do a thing.
And, you know, when you have a lower body issue, okay, you can do the arm bike, you can do some lifting, but when you have procedures both top and bottom, I mean, you basically have
anything.
A Paul Perillo-like offseason, and you do nothing. You sit by the pool and have a cookie.
Absolutely. And he said that was the one thing that he told himself was, I have these surgeries, I am going to sit and do nothing, and that's what he did. Because he wanted to make sure that he got well-rested and recovered from these injuries before he got into his rehab. And I think that's going to take some time, and I'm not surprised to see that he wasn't out on the field today.
Okay, let's go quickly turn the page to today's workout. As I said, a bit of an opportunity practice. Not on the field this morning. 12. Should I go by name?
Yeah,
people probably don't know the numbers, huh?
You probably should.
They
go
probably
by,
got that
go
one,
name.
But some of the others
probably
might have got confusing.
By name.
Tom Brady, Jason Webster, Ellis Hobbs, yeah. Sammy Morris. Who's talking in the background right now?
Tom Brady.
James Sanders, Rodney Harrison, Kyle Eckel, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, PUP, Stephen Neal, PUP, Ryan O'Callaghan, Matt Light, 76. Who's that?
Oliver Ross.
Oliver Ross, PUP.
They might not know the numbers.
Randy. I have never seen Oliver Ross in person.
Nor have I.
I have never seen him.
Nor have I.
Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Benjamin Watson, David Thomas, who did return on Sunday practiced over the weekend, but is now back out. Richard Seymour, and then PUPers, Jarvis Green, and Mike Wright. So that was all the guys not out there.
20 guys today.
All told. As I said, a lot of guys got a chance to, you know, kind of get a taste of what we might see on Thursday. A lot of Matt Cassel with the offense. Mm-hmm. Then Kevin O'Connell rotating in. Matt Gutierrez. And those quarterbacks have been the talk of the town the last couple days with, you know, how the reps might unfold. One thing I pointed out to you, Paul, Matt Gutierrez, the last two practices in a row, has spent significant time, 20, 30 minutes on the field with just a ball boy and a cameraman from the video department videoing every single throw he makes. And I'm wondering what your take is on that.
Well, I mean, short of talking to him about it, which might have been a good idea for you to do if you were going to be responsible.
How could I do it? He was throwing for a video guy. I couldn't talk to him.
I would think that he's probably maybe feels like he's struggling a little bit with his mechanics. He wants to take a good look at them and break them down. He's probably going over them with Josh McDaniels at some point as well. Maybe he's just kind of, you know, breaking it all down and trying to put it back together. We speculated that maybe Kevin O'Connell had done it. Maybe they had tried to rework his mechanics.
Has looked a bit robotic in his throws.
Yeah, and he has seemed to have changed the style a little bit that we saw at that rookie minicamp way back in May. So maybe Gutierrez is dealing with similar kind of issues. I'm only here to speculate because we didn't get a chance to talk to Matt about it.
No, I was going to say that's interesting that he's doing that because I thought of all the quarterbacks, he was having one of the better
throwing
camps.
I thought he's had a decent camp, and it actually caught my eye the second day. I think one day you say, well, it's something they do. They try to maybe do all the quarterbacks at some point during camp. But 2 days in a row, to me, tells me there's a little more to it than just normal coaching.
I don't feel like he's gotten as many reps the last
week
or so.
He hasn't of late. It's been a flip-flop with O'Connell.
Yeah. You know, O'Connell seems to be getting more of those reps lately. Now, I would expect those three guys to play, significant.
Well, I was going to say,
Cassel and Gutierrez are going to have to play significantly, I would think.
And Kevin O'Connell yesterday sort of surprised me, saying he expects to play and get some decent reps Thursday night, even though Bill hasn't exactly gone over a depth chart at quarterback.
Does Brady play? Do you think Brady starts and makes the cameo, or maybe they just say, let's go with Cassel from
the
game?
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play.
It sounds like he's not going to play. The way that Cassel said he expected to play a lot and he would be prepared to play the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin O'Connell said he definitely expects to play. Now, to guarantee that you're going to get four guys snaps, to me, is not an easy thing to do.
Right. Now, yeah, unless you do the cameo for Brady.
Well,
but why
even
bother?
But even if you do the cameo, it
there's only
depends.
So many series. There's
exactly.
only, what, nine, ten series,
and
whatever
that's what
it is?
Bill always says. People always try to pin Bill down is, will he play the first quarter? Will he do that? You can't do that because
right.
the first quarter could end up being 30 plays. It could be
yeah.
three,
right?
Depending on how the rest of the game unfolds. If the other team gets the ball and puts together a long drive, then you go three and out, and then they put another long drive. Well, there goes the first quarter, and you know mm-hmm. your offense has been on the field for three plays. So I just think it's hard to guarantee you're going to get four guys' snaps.
Okay, moving on to the rest of the guys on the field today beyond the quarterbacks. A guy I spoke with and a guy I think has really made a splash, a Fred Kirsch favorite here at PFW, is Matthew Slater. First, we should note
Fred props again,
yeah,
man, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
He's been impressive.
He's no longer wearing a white jersey. He now has the blue number 18, signifying to some degree a swap to defense, although today he was wearing a yellow penny when playing offense, which basically means nothing because when he had the white jersey, he was wearing a penny to play defense.
Right.
And I asked Bill about it, and he left it up to me. So
he said, it's up to you. You can decide.
I'm basically allowed to say whatever I want in my opinion on Matthew Slater.
Always a dangerous thing for
but
people.
I'll keep those opinions
to
myself. One area that's not up for debate, the guy's second gear. When he hits a hole on kick return, he hits that first wave, and if he sees daylight, he kicks it in, he's gone. And it's as impressive a return ability as we've seen, I think, since Bethel Johnson. You know, Ellis Hobbs has had a lot of success. Lawrence Maroney's had a lot of success. But I don't know that you got the wow that you get from when you see Matthew Slater kicking it into that next gear. Mm. But more importantly, that's his way to make the roster because he's doing all these different things. And he was actually asked today if he feels like he has a primary position. And I'm not sure he does just yet.
Not necessarily. You know, they have me doing what I'm doing for a reason, and I'm trusting that there is a reason for that. So I'm just coming out, and my primary position is whatever I'm playing, that down. So if it's special teams, that's my primary position. If it's defense, that's my primary position. If it's offense, same thing. So I'm just coming out and trying to do what they're asking me and just continue to work hard and try to get better.
Do you feel like returning kicks comfortably because you look pretty smooth?
You know, it's something that, you know, definitely my speed, I think, helps me, but it's a team thing. You know, the return is only going to be as good as the guys up front. And it's so much fun to have the type of guys blocking here, you know, with the great athletes that you have blocking for you. It makes it a lot easier on the returner when there's holes open like that. So it's a team effort, and we have great guys up front. And you can only be as good as your blockers up front. And I feel like we have great guys across the board, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
You feel like you have that fearless, hit it full speed and just hope for good things kind of attitude?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think you can't be hesitant running in there. You can't run in there scared and hesitant. My coaches in college taught me that, and it's carried over here. You're going to take some big hits probably. That's just the nature of that play. So you got to run it up in there, and sometimes you're going to hit daylight, and other times you might get your head knocked off. But, you know, that's just the nature of it.
You know, a couple of things about Slater. He talked in that quote about, you know, crediting his blockers up front. But it seemed to me like, of all the guys doing the kick returns, he seems to get the best blocking.
Right.
Because
he makes it look that way.
He makes it look
that
way.
The returner makes the blockers. I've always believed that.
I
know there's a role.
He's being humble about it.
If you dance like we've seen some returners dance around here, the blockers can't possibly hold their blocks long enough.
Right.
If you hit it quickly, then a half-ass block that barely got a guy out of the way looks like a great block because they show the replay while you're dancing.
He does a good job of reading that block ahead of time, and then when he sees that opening, like you said, he's got that second gear that he goes right through. The other thing I like about him is that, you know, usually you have a guy who's either a good returner or a good gunner, one or the other. He seems to, even when they put him at gunner or in that position, he's equally impressive on that, too.
Which is why the name Joshua Cribbs is being brought up, because he's a guy that has excelled both in coverage and in return abilities. Made the Pro Bowl, I believe, last year for the Browns. And Slater was asked about those guys, and the obvious comparison in New England, one Troy Brown, because of the offense, the defense, and the special teams. And I will say, check out Patriots Football Weekly coming on newsstands tomorrow. There's a photo of Matthew Slater returning a kick, and he looks like Troy Brown. The same compact running style, the same fierce eyes coming through you. There's a look there. Slater's going to try to avoid that comparison for good reason, because you don't want to be compared to a living legend before you've played in a single preseason game. But I think he's going to continue to draw some of those.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but I will say that if there is going to be a comparison down the road and he ends up being a staple special teams player for the Patriots for years to come, no comparison in speed. between he and Troy Brown.
He has a gear Troy Brown never had. Troy Brown would have been 10 times better had he had the speed that Matthew Slater is blessed with.
I think that Andy and I, you know, I would not want to speak for you, but
we've been late to the party.
Yeah, we were skeptical, didn't understand necessarily why a fifth-round pick. I still kind of have some of that in the back of my mind, but
and still holding off until he plays in a full contact game setting.
In terms of his athleticism, what we've seen on the field, the speed is a different level. Fred was right, I was wrong.
And kind of surprising, too, that the son of an offensive lineman is blessed with that much speed.
Yeah.
You know, normally you think
the apple rolled away from the tree.
Yeah.
But they're both NFL players at this point.
They're both ripe for the picking.
And just before I close it, one of my favorite drills of camp with that lame pun, break off tackling in this practice where you had some of the special teams work 10 yards apart. Come on, one-on-one. Vince Red.
Oh, yes.
The hit of camp laying out.
Yeah.
Can I take the hit of camp?
No, it was the hit of the day.
Hit of the day. Okay, Heath Evans, break-off tackling. Vince Red making a run at the right time. Preseason action right around the corner. Keep an eye on Big Red. And more importantly, keep an eye on the podcast here at Patriots.com, where we keep you up to date to all the practice action here from Gillette Stadium. Peace out.
Oh, it's much too soon to make that comparison. Troy Brown is in the league of his own. You can't compare me to him. I'm just a youngster trying to learn the ropes. And, you know, what he was able to accomplish in his career, I really admire and respect him for, but I'm not even close to being a Troy Brown, and you can't make that comparison.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.